Monday, May 3, 2010, Board of Corrections meeting, 4 o'clock, Board of Commissioners meeting, 4:10.
Okay.
I will. When I leave, I will give you a call.
Okay.
Yeah, she's trained to cut
customer service. Call this meeting of the Board of Corrections to order. Would you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Would you call the roll, please?
McLarty?
Yes.
Bosque?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You were provided with a copy of the minutes of our last meeting of the Board of Corrections. So moved.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve as printed. Any corrections, omissions, deletions? Call roll.
Bosque?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Mr. Kern, jail report, please.
Okay, the jail report for the month of April. The county inmates, you're at 79 for an average, but the last few months we went up to 80, and that's from where we've been staying. Now we're back in the 80s for county inmates. Federal inmates were at 30, and that's our projected number that we had felt we were going to get, so we began to see an uptick in number of federal inmates. And juveniles, we had an uptick there too of 4. Total in-house population was up to 109. And then for the calendar year, you can see the figures that we were a little higher than what we've been for the calendar year. And our fiscal year numbers are still relatively high, but we're started in a downward trend from that because of last few months. April's marshal income was 54,266. The ICE was 4,160. Total federal of 58,426. For the calendar year since January 1, a little better than 220,000. For the fiscal year, since July 1 of last year, we're at 551,000. We should see about 600, between 660 and 665,000 for the entire fiscal year for federal income. Our per diem inmate cost dropped again, so we're down to 55.35. The cost for maintaining an inmate for the fiscal year is at 53.60. For the calendar year, 57.72. Juvenile per diem, we had very few people at Madison, so our per diem for the month of April was a low of $54. The figure for the year is about $108. And we are expended 73% of our authorized budget through 83% of the fiscal year, so we're 10% under budget, or about $270,000. At Kearney, we went to Kearney. Bill and I were down in Kearney to talk to the Jail Standards Board for their quarterly meeting. At that time, I presented to them the need for the additional bed space. They granted that, so we have 5 additional beds. 3 will be installed in the female housing and 2 in the male. This raises our authorized maximum capacity to 104 beds in the main facility and brings us up to 146 overall. This leaves us with 4 single bed cells in the male housing and 5 in the female. The fire marshal was also present, and he advised the board that we had completed all the required updates, and he was going to send his deputy, Mark Campbell, to take a look at that last item and then send a letter to the board. We received the designation of being in full compliance with jail standards subject to that inspection. Our new merit commission that you approved the rules for will meet on May 6th at 7 p.m., At that time, we'll discuss entry-level oral examinations that have been scheduled for May the 12th, and we'll talk about promotional oral examinations based on a promotional written exam. I didn't put it on here because we're not done with it yet, but we did have a representative of FEMA come through both the jail and the sheriff's office today, and they're talking about how much money it cost us in this snowstorm from last year, and what we spent for overtime, what we spent for expenses. The person who's there is just gathering information. He's not the final decision-maker. But he did take enough information that would lead me to believe we're going to get at least some of what we spent last year reimbursed by the federal government for the jail, and I would assume for the sheriff's office as well, which will go back in the general fund. Any questions for Terry?
Terry, what have we projected our fiscal year income for federal inmates? Is that around a million?
For this year?
Yeah.
What was it, 700,000? I don't remember.
800 something.
800 and some thousand, I think, was what we projected for this year. I've looked at our where we are now with money cash in hand that we've already gotten in for this year, what I expect we'll get in for the last few months of this fiscal year, and I think that the jail income this year will not be, in fact, I know it won't be $1 million, but it will be somewhere around $950,000 that will generate total jail income. And last year was $1.2 million, and the year before that was $1,018,000, so we're going to be closer to where we were in 2008 than where we were in 2009.
Okay. 830,000.
Okay.
Just my own, when does the jail reimbursement payments for the state end?
From the state will end next year. We should, this year coming up, this fiscal year, July 1, we should still qualify for state reimbursement funds. For fiscal, was it 10-11 coming up, we'll get state reimbursement funds. Then that's it. We have one more year of jail reimbursement and then we're done.
So we will get that in for our next budget for
jail.
11-12 budget.
Right.
Our 10-11 budget.
Okay. And we've already received those funds. And it's a complicated process, as you know, as to who gets what and how many people put in for it. We did the best this year that we have in the previous 3 years. We had $140,000 in jail reimbursement. So we got better money this year than we did last year by far, and actually better money than 2008.
Almost double.
Yeah, we did real well. But that will end.
Okay. Any other questions for Terry? None from the board, from the public? Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay, moving on. Miscellaneous, there's nothing. Board report in reference to the jail? None. Public comment. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to address the Board of Corrections on any issue that was not on the agenda in reference to the jail? Seeing nobody come forward, there's no emergency business. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn the Board of Corrections. Call roll.
Cody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Oskay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We still have about 3 minutes before we can move into the next agenda, to the next item.
Do you want Paul Martin to do it?
I don't want Bill McCarty to do it.
Hey, John.
He said somebody was home working in the yard or
something. Okay. Hey, Paul. Why don't you come up here?
At 4:30.
At 4:30, I guess.
What?
Thanks, John.
Well, I don't know. You said 4:30.
Well, I got it.
Say, George. Oh, he's got bids for that.
$8,000.
That must be for that $84,000.
Well, you ready yet?
So the ones that are blank are So the ones that responded,
yeah.
I don't have any more left than you do, but it's satisfying me.
How do we find out?
Okay.
Maybe ask a different question.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, of course.
We'll call the County Board of Commissioners to order. We've already gone through the pledge. This is a bad day. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Call the roll, please.
McLarty?
Yes.
Escay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Thank you. You have received a copy of the minutes of the previous meeting. What is your pleasure?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes as printed. Is there any corrections, deletions, additions? Hearing none, would you call the roll?
Escay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Mr. Fouts called and he is unable to attend today, so we'll have to put that off until the next meeting. Mr. Gill?
Mrs. Gill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris Gill. I apologize.
That's okay.
Really had a bad
I am
day,
so
Gil.
Sorry.
It is a bad day. My name's Chris Gill. For those of you, I think everyone here does know me. My husband's Dave Gill. We live out north of Jackson, Nebraska, and I've been here before, not when Tony or Dick's been here, but to talk about the county roads, which are an issue again this spring. Since the last time I've come to talk, I've made several contacts around the county, and I do periodically call around. It's a countywide problem again. There are the roads, just the one day of rain we had last week, ours was really, really, really bad. You were driving 5 miles an hour to get down the road. So I'm here with concerns. I tried calling Bill the one morning. I talked to Fred with the Department of Roads. They did come out and grade about 2 miles of our road, which I counted. There are 46 households that lead all the way to the dead end, the end of our road. That 2 miles they did covered about 8 households, so the 38 rest of us, I don't know how many people that is that travel it, got to travel the rest of the road without any work being done. I've been out of town for 4 days and I'm back today. No work has been done since that. The road is looking tough again. If we get another day of rain, it's going to be hard to travel. So I'm here first to ask, Bill, are you still on the committee for the roads? Is there anyone else within the commission? Okay. I'd like to know, instead of complaining, I'd like to know if there's a chance to meet with you two at any given point so that I can learn more, get a map of the counties, kind of understand a little more before I complain so much of how much you have to deal with, how much the Department of Roads has to deal with.
I'd be glad to meet with you. I
also like to learn a little more about the budget, how they set the budget, how this money is allocated. I mean, is it just based on the previous year, or are you really looking at the needs of the county? Because they're huge. These roads need to start getting some things addressed, and we can keep hearing the excuses year after year after year, but I think it's time that some citizens start to speak. And I know there are concerned citizens out there because we've had public meetings. I'd rather not stir things up in that manner. But like I said, I have made contacts. There are people that are concerned. I do know if we had to, we could get a committee together to start working towards some things. I guess when I say when the two cities, Sioux City, South Sioux City, Dakota City, seen all the pothole problems, we heard the editorials that was on the news. The cities had to step up. They had to get the potholes fixed. You've been seeing the crews out there. Why do us that drive the county gravel roads have to put up with this? They don't put up with it in the cities. We shouldn't have to. We're taxpayers. Something needs to be done. So I don't know if I'm heading in the right direction asking to meet, but that's what I'd like to do. And
sure.
Maybe I'll shut up after I learn a few things. But so
I've got a couple comments. I had a over the past 3.5 years, a couple people lived out by the river that would call me almost weekly. And since we made some changes out there, I haven't heard from them for a long time. And then this spring, I did some work out north of Jackson. I traveled that road every day for 3 weeks, and it was in super good shape. But I haven't up there recently.
And that's, you're right. This last fall, it was better taken care of than it has been in a long time. Now, I do know the guy that runs the road grader, I think, lives down the road from us now.
Yeah, he does.
So if it's the fact that he drives it and he knows the conditions that maybe he spoke of, but yes, you are right. It was much, much, much better than it had been. It's not right now. We haven't seen any new gravel. We have in spots, but we haven't seen any recently. And the little bit of road grading they did the other day is not going to solve the problem if we get rain again. And, you know, this time of the year should be when they're gearing up for this, because we're going to get heavy traffic on those roads again with the farm. You know, we already have been, because they're still pulling crops out from last year. And now I notice the planters are out. So, but, yeah, we did see some improvement.
Can I get your phone number?
Sure. I'll give you my cell. It's 712-203. 0629.
Oh, what?
629. So that's really all I have to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next item is the private. I have a hard time with this word too. Privatization of the road department.
Going back to what Chris had to say, we did have a lot of phone calls this last issue on the roads, and I don't know, maybe the road department is stretched where it can't get to all the roads, so my thoughts were is to put it out there for bid to see if maybe we can get the roads in better shape, privatize the road department, and then we'll get the work done.
Okay.
I don't know if I got any support for that, but even if we try a section road,
and it was bad, the avenue
to see if it gets better. But we definitely need to do something, and that's why I put it on there.
Okay.
And I asked Joan to check to see if there was any other counties. So far, we've had some respond, but we haven't had any, all of them respond, so.
Okay. Yep.
I've got a comment. I thought about this, too, in the past. I think the biggest problem is, it's just like my own business, if I own my own combine, I think it's more efficient if I sell it. It's made a custom. I'm just comparing the two. The first year or two might be, as I feel, it might be reasonable. And as if we get rid of all our equipment, all of our men, there may come a time when it may not be so efficient. Because once we get out, there's no getting back in, I don't think. I mean, you get rid of all the equipment and all the men, it'd take years to come back again. But on the same line, I think if we could do a portion or maybe hire someone to help build some roads, our scrapers are obsolete. The guys run them one day and work on them too. I mean, the scrapers are shot. And we just don't have the manpower or the equipment to build roads like we should. If we start building roads, we pull two or three guys off roads that should be bladed every day, and we suffer because of that the last two or three years. I think you've got a good idea, but if we can do it on a limited basis, perhaps building new roads, maybe hire somebody to help us haul some gravel to get caught up. To get rid of everything and just hire it out, I don't know. I think we'd be beyond the eight ball years to come. And I don't know.
And that's why I thought, that's why I put it on the agenda, so we could do some research to find out what other counties are doing and if they've done this. And then, you know, my comment is, too, we're dealing with an era of before where everybody was hauling their grain with two-ton trucks and hauling 300 bushel of corn, and now we're hauling our grain out with trucks that weigh 80,000, tractors and planters and stuff that weigh quite a bit more, and I'm a culprit too. But we need to move up, and if we need more maintainers, and if we need more than two gravel trucks, then the county needs to step up and do it, because we're behind the eight ball. Even I talked to Fred, and Fred said that he was behind, And how do you catch up when you got such a winter that come off you with the frost boils and the roads? And I don't think the roads that I drove this last week, I don't think that we could go out there and successfully bring this county up in a year. Paint away.
There's a lot of work to do, and I think the road department 20 years ago had twice the staff that we have today. So you had guys to do the blacktop work and the bridge work and that type of thing, and today we have a skeleton crew.
Mm-hmm.
You pull two guys off, two maintainers sit, two trucks sit, and we suffer because of them. So I think your idea,
and then,
to help out, get some work done, keep our guys in the trucks and in the maintainers, let them do what they're supposed to do.
Well, I had a call the other day on 200th Street. And so I drove it before anything happened. I got in pickup and I went all the way across 200th Street, starting at 35, and I went curl over to the end of our deal, to T Avenue. Well, then I thought, well, this goes into Concord. I'll just go all the way across. And I did. I went past the Smalley boys and I kept right on going. It was a whole different ball game when I got, way over there. But
better or worse,
I don't know if they didn't have semis on them like we did. Well, I did stop and talk to the Smalley boys, one of them. They did run down 200th Street with their grain. That's what they said. So then I called Tony and I said, Tony, what are you doing? He said, nothing. I said, you want to go with me? So I took him with me, just to show him the road. Because 200th Street is really tore up.
Tore up. It's really bad.
Really bad.
When you get to see the Dixon County Road, on the T Avenue or whatever, it's just...
And I couldn't believe it.
Can't believe it. Why did you say that 20 years ago you had bigger personnel than we have right now? The budget? What did we cut down?
I think we had a lot more bridge work at that time. Oh. A lot of the wooden bridges and stuff.
Yeah, we didn't.
But they did. I think they had, 16, 18 guys.
We didn't have no concrete bridges. So.
And another thing we're coming into is the summer. And I know Fred battles this. And I know I watched it last year. He was down. Guys take vacations. And it's our peak time to try to get these roads up. And we've got empty maintainers. Isn't that right, Fred? You got guys on vacation or somebody gets sick or a wife gets sick. And you got to let them have time off. And here we sit. I just don't think we're getting work done.
But it's... I'd rather have them on vacation in the summertime than in the winter that we just had.
Well, yeah.
And even if they did have time coming in the wintertime, if they needed to be called in, they came in. So, it's something you can't expect them to be there.
Fred, I want to ask you too, how is it working out now with Peterson Holland? Is that helping us out quite a bit?
He's done some. He's kind of struggling to get started this spring yet.
Right. Now, I went south of Hubbard. That road that he did, I don't know how far he went. I went from Fiddler Creek in. That was like a pavement when it rained. It was a really good road. Yes, it was. I got to say, it was. But, and that's got trucks on it, like the Lux Boys and Roadies and everything. But that really turned out. Do you think it's working out, that gravel, then?
Well, that road has also been built up. It's
right.
It's a matter of maintenance.
Right.
In aggregate, that's all it is.
I know.
Just like I say with the frost boils.
Right.
A lot of late harvest this year.
Right.
Chris Gill's up in her roads. They're doing fiber optic right now.
I know.
Papio, Missouri hauled dirt up in that area on their dike. We have a lot of movement up in that area. Not making excuses.
No.
All them things make a big difference on the road.
I'm not making excuses for truckers. That's the only way they get the grain out.
Yeah.
Just like I talked to one guy, Donnie Hope. And he said, Dick, I couldn't even get to my bin the whole month of January. And it's the truth. So, February came, March came, he started all on. So I can see that.
A couple of comments that I have myself. First of all, we facing, you said, Rick, the heavy equipment. I mean, it is no doubt. Number two, we had a tough winter last year. I mean, it's really terrible. But besides the point, I think if we look, the situation, it really started and look into it. There's guys out there that approach me personally, you know, they're willing to do it. And I know one individual, he's got the money to buy the equipment, he's ready, and he says, I can try 100 miles, I can try 200 miles. You just tell me, and I buy the equipment that I need. So I think we need to look into it and sit down and talk to the guys like that. I mean, there's I know there's more than one individuals that are interested in doing that. But we have to look ourselves, how are we going to handle it, how are we going to do it? We don't want to spend more than what we our budget is, you know, for the fiscal year. So what I'm saying, it makes the story short, it's just we need to look into it and see if it's possible and see what we can do, because we need to act before it's getting worse.
Well, I think the higher price these machines get, you know, $200,000 maintainer, running 40 hours a week, that's not very efficient. If we had a private contractor, you'd probably run it 70, 80 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But then you run into the problem, you know, if you do that, what do you do in the wintertime? You need so many machines. You know, like this last winter, we didn't have enough the way it was, with seven machines.
But I'm like Rick said, you know, you got this guy sitting back here, you got Harlan Holdan, that's got every equipment he's got. You know, maybe that we ought to look at something, maybe hiring that to build up 40, 50 miles. You know, I'm just saying. You know, like first I got to find out where the money's going to come from first. You know, that's what I got to find out first. But I'm just saying, maybe that's our question. I don't know.
Anybody else?
I ran into a person at the elevator, or not the elevator, when I was getting fertilizer, and he told me, he says, I'm paying $34 an acre on hill ground taxes. And he right. says, I can't even get up the hills or down the roads with my equipment.
That's right.
Now we got to start servicing these people like Chris Gill and.
Well, all of our 1 in 6 year plan has a price on it. Every project has a price.
Right.
Those are, Fred's come up with figures, realistic figures for maintainers, scrapers,
right.
Sheep's foot. Whether we do it or hire somebody to do it, we have those dollars budget.
If we can stay in that range.
Right, and we would. He's used contractor.
Know.
Figures on that. But if we would hire someone to just do those, that portion of our work, our guys stay on the roads.
I
think it's.
I have no problem with
at.
That.
I have a few questions here. First of all, we're going to contract with somebody to do the work. I assume it would be a 1 to 3 year contract. Then we would want in that an option. 30 to 60 days to opt out of it if the work isn't getting done by that individual. That would be fair, something right. My next question, who owns the equipment? Do we own it or do they? If they own it, then down the road sometime we decide to take it back. That's a heck of a cost. I heard Bill bring that up. That's a point to take into consideration. Do we buy it and then just contract out, buy the equipment, own the equipment, and contract the work out? Just questions. Now, I have talked to the school district, Sauson City School District, and I asked them how their buses go, because they have contracted that out. They do not own the buses. The bus company owns the buses. And they say that it works well for them. They're very satisfied with it. They bid it out every 3 years, and the same company has been the low bidder every time. They say that's good, except if they decide they want to go back in the business, they got to buy all the buses at $20,000 a bus. That gets a little bit expensive. They have just contracted out their food service. That's something new. They kept the equipment, but they just contracted out the work. They are now also contracting out their cleaning services in some of their buildings. So it is being done, and the school district says it's efficient for them. So that's something to look into. What kind of a savings package are we going to go in this? Where are we going to save money? How are we going to save money to benefit and still give the same service? There's only 40 of 93 counties that have returned the survey. And then with all that said, let me throw this on the table. Financing it. Just a thought. The jail bonds we paid off within 2 years. what would be the possibility of renewing the county's share of that, those bond, sales tax, and use that money for fixing the roads, strictly building the roads and upgrading the road. Although it isn't, wouldn't be maintenance, it would be upgrading the road to a better quality road. So what I have is just food for thought, okay? Anybody else know?
What is the county portion of that half percent, roughly?
I'm pretty sure the statute states that sales tax can only be used for law enforcement.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing. A county is restricted.
Yeah.
And their use of that sales tax money.
I know that the bond, when it was passed by the people, was that way. But can a new bond passed by the people be used for that? That's something. I just threw it out as something to look at. We don't need an answer now. It's just something to look at. To me, it's a possibility to get the money to build the roads to serve our people, and not increase property taxes. Okay. Now, with that said, is there anyone in the audience who would like to address this issue? Bring up some point that we've overlooked or something for us to look into while we're studying this. Sally, I think you will have to sign in. You're not on the agenda.
Just a suggestion. The road department perceives itself as working hard, and I have no reason to question that. Now, based on the number of people we've had come in complaining about their roads, I think you have to say that the people are not happy with the product. Maybe the thing to do, and I know it's always a question of where you're going to come up with the money, but sometimes it will save you in the long run. Maybe it's time to hire an engineering firm to come in and look at what we've got, what we're doing, where we need to go, and give us some recommendations. And then we can figure out who we're going to have do what.
Okay.
Maybe a combination of our road crew and privatizing something. I think we need a plan, because just fixing one or two things doesn't seem to be getting us where we need to go. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Someone else? Anyone else like to address the board on the issue of the roads? Dennis, I would have been surprised if you had wanted to talk. I've been waiting.
Actually, I wanted to make a comment about what Bill Rohde said here earlier about the 1 and 6 year plan. And if you figure that out a little bit, because I think we're only going to do a few miles every year. Well, we've got, 400 plus miles in this county? So in other words, we'd all have to probably live to 121 years old just to make it around the county. So the 1 and 6 year plan is unrealistic, as far as I am concerned. You need something that's going to encompass like maybe 20 miles a year, not like 1 or 2 miles. That's all really I had to say.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
It's not realistic, okay?
Anyone else? Not seeing anybody coming forward, then we will move on to the next item, the energy grant. Okay, we need to open the bids, I believe. Thank you, I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, no problem.
You know how to do that, I know.
Well,
he's gonna learn.
I've got plenty of paper cuts trying this.
Oh, do we want to?
I guess.
Let me hand it to you that way.
And these will be in no particular order. I'm just grabbing them.
Okay.
I got it right here.
Okay.
I got her. The first one here will be from C.W. Souter.
No, I thought it was I don't know the answer, that's why.
Yeah, bid bond is included. Their bid is $113,927. Now, this next one. This is from Hooper Heating and Cooling.
Hooper?
Hooper.
Hooper.
Oh, okay. $176,000. And there is a bid bond included. The next one is Farrell's Heating and Cooling, Heating and Air Conditioning. Their bid is $115,800.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I'm sorry. $115,800. And they have a cashier's check for the bid bond. A-Team Heating and Cooling. Bid is $97,378.
$97,000.
It's $100,000 different than.
Yeah.
And the bid bond is actually included. And this last one's, I think it's Beta 4SF HVAC. And their bid is $95,000. There is a bid bond included.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we need to move on this. Do we have a committee to review this? Building committee?
I'll make a motion that the Buildings and Ground Committee take these and do some consideration and make a recommendation.
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks.
Second that.
Motion made and seconded to refer these bids to the Building Committee and have them come back with a recommendation in 2 weeks. Questions? Comments?
Who's the second bidder below the first one? Where is Ecom?
Yeah. Ecom at
$95,000.
The $95,000
one. Two falls. Okay. This other one that come in, 176, he's from down at, way down by Fremont, ain't it?
Hooper.
If I remember right.
Hooper.
Hooper. I think that's down by Fremont.
If we can deal with the local person here, that'd be the way to do it. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think we let the committee work on it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Call roll.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Carney?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Moving to miscellaneous approval of payroll claims. Reviewed them. Only the difference to bring out is the attorney has hired a full-time person, which was part-time. It's within the budget, so there's really no issue.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the claims as presented. Question? Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Payable claims, I didn't see any, so we don't need to do that. And there are no tabled items. Committee reports?
Did a jail tour, and everything was fine there. Everything looked good, and everything's going great with the addition on the LEC. Moving ahead, and hopefully it'll be done before this deadline.
Okay. Anything, Bill?
No, I don't have anything, no.
I have one item to, first of all, bring to your attention. I gave you the budget review as of last month. We look at that at your leisure. The other thing I have is a letter that I have received to Dakota County Board of Commissioners. I hereby submit my resignation as Dakota County Veteran Service Officer effective May 1, 2010. I will always have great pride in serving our veterans and our country in this capacity. I thank you for your support and wish you the very best. Signed, Alan Boyd. So Alan has resigned from the board. We will not be able to take action on that for 2 weeks because it was not on the agenda. But the Veterans Committee, Advisory Committee, is in the process of working on a replacement, which will come before us at a later date. Okay?
Thank you, man.
I got one other thing.
Yeah.
We had the area chamber banquet last week.
Yes.
And Commissioner Gomez was honored as a visionary.
Leadership Award.
Leadership Award, and I just think that that was great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was really surprised. You know, I was in there with my family, and I never had a clue that there was only, my name was going to brought up. So when I went to the stage, I didn't know what to say. I was just, they really did good tonight. So thank you very much.
You did well.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
And we're very proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Now we're to the public comment period. Is there anyone in the audience would like to address the board on any issue that was not on the agenda? Anybody wish to address the board? No one coming forward. There is no emergency business, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming. Appreciate your time.
No, that'd be great.